This netcast is brought to you by the 8 Days of Geek Network.
All of your ears are belong to us.
You're tuned in to the 8 Days of Geek podcast. This is episode 17, recorded on February 10th, 2010. HP Pre 3. There. I did it. You happy? You're tuned in to the 8 Days of Geek podcast. No health food here. It's just junk food for your brain. I'm your host, the editor-in-chief of 8 Days of Geek, Jesse Miller, and joining me today, a little bit of a changing crew. We've got Rachel Lebo.
Ortiz. You said freak show, sorry.
And joining us again for his second time, and hopefully not his last, Sam Briggs.
How's it going?
All right. And some of you will notice that Sam's audio is a little funky. We found out that Ubuntu, it doesn't like Skype quite as much as we'd hoped. And also, what was it, an audio jack on your computer?
Oh, yeah. I have a non-functioning mic jack.
All right. You're all jacked up. It's funny. See, because Brandon's not on here, he specifically told me, let's see how well you do without the Laugh Factory. And I told him all it's going to mean is a little less work because now I don't have to throw in so many fireballs. So, the reason that I have Sam on here is because while I enjoy the way that WebOS looks, and I've had minimal hands-on time with it, he is a WebOS king. So, Sam, do me a favor. Walk us through some of the HP WebOS announcement.
Okay. Well, the other day, HP held their WebOS Think Beyond event, and we've got new hardware, new software, updates, lots of things to look forward to, including a very awesome tablet. Today actually began the launch of the Pre 2 on Verizon, which is really just kind of an updated Pre, basic hardware spec updates to a gig processor, half gig of RAM. But coming this spring, we have the smallest smartphone ever in the Veer, which is a tiny little touchscreen phone with a slide-out keyboard.
Now, what do you think?
Just like the original Pre had.
What do you think HP's? What do you think their motivation is for launching the Palm Pre 2 on Verizon?
The iPhone Day.
No,
on Verizon?
Yeah, I mean the Pre 2. Did you say that it's just now launching on Verizon?
That is correct. And it's actually been, the unlocked GSM version has been available since about December for AT&T. You can only buy it through HP websites, places like that. The delay, I'm not sure if it was simply over HP wanting to tie everything together into this event, or if WebOS has kind of always been pushed to the back burner after the launch on Sprint, both with getting updates out and getting stock out to stores. It could very well be that Verizon, with wanting to get the iPhone out, just simply didn't put much priority in getting the stock out and the stock up for the Pre 2 to launch. Because as far as I know, everything seems to be out, there is no technical difference between the GSM Pre 2 that was available last year and this one that's launching just now. Besides, you know, the Verizon software that comes with it. So I can only guess that there was probably some kind of snag in the way.
I gotcha. And I read somewhere, is the Pre 2 going to be able to be upgraded to WebOS 2.0?
The Pre 2 actually comes with 2.0.
Does it? Okay.
It comes stock with it. You've probably heard about the Pre and the Pixie, and Pre Plus and Pixie Plus. They will not be getting the update to 2.0. which had been promised. And there's a lot of upset people over that one, because it had been promised all along, and that was one of the big selling points for the Pre-Plus and Pixie Plus on AT&T and Verizon, was that Flash support and all that Skype support. Everything is tied into 2.0. The Quick Office editing suite, all of it is tied to 2.0. Now the legacy devices aren't getting any of that. And we know that the update's out there. There have been phones that have been seriously updated to 2.0, and the two pre's have been reported to have updated in the past few months to 2.0, so we know it can happen, and we know it supports it. It probably is, as HP knows that the hardware, sadly, the WebOS phone's original hardware isn't the greatest in the world, and a lot of them have failed. A lot of people have jumped ship. I personally don't see any reason for the original devices to get those updates. It would be awesome, but the hardware is already taxed as it is, and making it do much more like Skype and actually right now we're doing Skype on a WebOS phone, so I guess it's not even really that relevant, but Flash especially, that's really going to push that hardware to probably more than it was capable of ever doing. So,
and plus, I mean, come on. We bring out new hardware specifically so that we can go to our wives and girlfriends and say, but my hardware's old. I need the new one. I need the new phone. You know,
exactly.
And then we say, hey, if I get a phone, so I'll get the Palm, or I get the HP. See, all right, I have a big complaint. I don't like the fact that they called it the Pre-3. Because it's really hard to say HP Pre-3.
HP Pre-3.
That is so difficult.
I know. Yeah. And what's more is it's written cubed. It's actually written pre-cubed. But it is all said Pre-3. So I'm not really sure what that's all about.
Wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It should be pre-cubed then.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway,
I don't know if there was just any kind of semantic catcher along the way, but it's written as pre-cubed.
Nice.
With the little three after the pre.
The way I figure that you play this is that you say you need the Pre-3, and if your significant other, whoever he or she may be, wants a phone, you try to stick them with the Veer. Say,
exactly.
It's a cute little phone. It'll fit in your pocket. You don't need a case. You slip in with your keys. You're good to go.
Is that the credit card size one?
It is. And in all honesty, I don't like small screens, but it looks kind of cool. I like it.
You know, I saw a picture of that, and I wouldn't mind using one as a phone, but I wouldn't use it for much else.
Looking at
small.
Yeah. This is definitely meant to be the accessory for their tablet. If you're going to be getting the touchpad this summer, whenever it comes out, then you don't need a hefty phone that's going to be the Pre-3. The Veer then will fill a lot of your needs, but boy, that is a tiny phone. I mean, I'm fairly positive I've lost the Pre just in my pocket and not realizing where it's at, so I can't even imagine what that one's like.
It kind of reminds me a long time before AT&T and Singular went together. Singular had a little silver flip phone. And this thing was about the size of one of my watches.
Yeah. It was a Pantech.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was the most ridiculous phone I've ever seen in my life. The lens on the camera was like a quarter of the front of the phone.
Exactly.
You know? And I'm not, you know, I've messed with WebOS devices, not heavily, but I've played with a couple. And watching all of this, looking at the stats and watching hands-on videos for these devices, I would seriously consider getting one if they had just a little bit more developer backing.
Yeah, that is pretty much everyone's catch. When you're sitting at roughly 6,000 apps in your app market, and you're looking at the 100,000 that your two biggest competitors have sitting in theirs, It's really hard to convince people to go that way. They are getting Skype support, and they have Flash support. They are working with Time Magazine and Sports Illustrated. have also now, with the tablet, are going to have full Kindle support and integration. So on that front, it's not going to be horrible, but
and
you've got Angry Birds.
Oh. That's all you need is Angry Birds.
Exactly. I mean, you've got Angry Birds. So when do you have time to do anything else?
I decided to install Angry Birds on my Mac, and my productivity kind of hit the ground.
Now, see, I don't really like playing Angry Birds with the mouse. I do much better with my phone and the touchscreen.
I don't really think it matters.
I just do much worse when playing on the Mac. I don't know why.
Well, then you need to you need to pay attention to the WebOS laptop and PCs that HP has hinted at repeatedly.
Oh, those, yeah. No,
hey,
just get
it'll
an
be
iPad.
A touchscreen. What's that?
I'll just get an iPad. I would actually invest in a Windows-based laptop if I could get a good one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so tell us a little bit more about the actual devices themselves.
Okay. Well, we've talked a little bit about the Veer. It's really the entry-level device, and like I said, it's going to be a great accessory for the tablet. But the Pre 3 is really going to be the flagship phone. 3.6-inch touchscreen, the high-resolution display, 480 by 800, which isn't the greatest in the world it's got nowadays, but with that, WebOS has always been a very crisp operating system anyway. It's always looked very clean. That one's going to have 1.4 gigahertz Snapdragon processor. It's got the half gig of RAM, front-facing, rear-facing camera. That is, form factor's not the greatest in my opinion, but it is definitely going to be a beast of a phone when it launches this summer. And it is GSM CDMA, so don't know exactly which carriers will be carrying it for sure. Those AT&T and Verizon are rumored. This phone, you can still tell that they are competing first and foremost with BlackBerries in the form factors, with the Pre 2, Veer, all of them. There's nothing here that really wows like anything to make people look away from an Evo or an iPhone, but they are definitely look like great, solid devices. The other announcement is the touchpad, which is effectively the iPad with WebOS. Front-facing camera, the Skype support, Kindle support, everything. With the big advantage is that if you have a WebOS phone, you'll have the touch transfer feature on the Pre 3, if you get the newest phone for that summer. You'll be able to transfer an app from one to the other when one is on the touchstone charging dock. So, in the middle of a game of Angry Birds, don't want to need to charge one of your devices, just tap it over to the other. You'll also be able to forward your phone calls and text messages to your tablet through Bluetooth. So, come home off work, drop your phone on the charger, and pick up your tablet, and you're connected for the rest of your day.
Hmm.
That's neat.
Not too shabby.
Yeah,
I always did like the touch.
Going to be the biggest selling point, I believe, for the touchpad.
Gotcha. All right. Well, what do you think, Rachel? These look like looks like something. You're an iPhone user, so you've got what would be considered, you know, the Jesus phone. Would you leave with more apps on WebOS, based strictly on the hardware and the basic OS itself and the way it works, what do you think? Is it something you'd think about trading your iPhone?
I would give it a try. I mean, I don't say no right away to it, which means a lot with me, because usually I'll just go, no, I don't want to try it. I'd actually be interested in trying it. I don't know if I would make it my main phone and device. It really depends on the ease in which I learned it. And just, you know, the features it has. But it sounds like a really great alternative for those people who just hate Apple and but want something similar. And with more options, just because the transference between the with the Bluetooth, they don't even have that on the iPad and iPhone, which that could be, that should be something Apple might look into, but you know they're not going to do that for like 2 years now because HP thought of it.
which is HP's saving grace.
Yeah, it's like HP's always late to the, or Apple's always late to the party if someone else thinks of it, even though it's a really good idea, and that is a really good idea. I think, especially for business, that might be pretty good.
Yeah, we know for sure that the email is going to support it, calendar supports it, all the basic services that are built into it. And that will be open to developers to work on from there. Actually, that's the other... The reason I stick with WebOS over Android, because I know you use Android, Jesse.
Yes, I do.
Is HP really wants kind of a hands-on community with WebOS. They've openly announced that it's okay to mod your phone. Now, overclocking is still against the rules. You shouldn't overclock your phone. But if you want to install patches, there's no problem for that. If you go to make an insurance claim, just run the WebOS doctor, send it back to factory, and you're good to go. There's no unlocking. If you want to go into developer mode, it's the Konami code. You type in the Konami code, bam, you've got developer access.
Wow, see, that answers the only question I had. And it's the only question I have for any single smartphone platform. Can I hack it? if that answer is yes, I will always give it a try.
Oh, you're a hacker at heart.
I have literally flashed, and I'm not kidding in the least, at least 5 ROMs to my Evo in the last week. And no, I'm not counting the multiple nightly cyanogens as multiple ROMs. That cyanogen 7, I'm counting it as one ROM. I've still flashed 5 or 6 of them. I can't decide. There's so many good ones.
Yeah. And while the WebOS doesn't quite have the that kind of openness into creating different ROMs and everything, the amount of patches, which is what WebOS has become famous for, you know, if you want to change something about the system, there's a patch for that. Guaranteed.
Ooh, I have, that, Apple.
I have... Yeah, exactly. I have multiple, more than the 3 stock launcher pages. I have pretty much every color combination changed on my phone, all done through patches. I have my data controls all set up into my top bar. Instead of having to go into a menu or anything else like that, they're a swipe away. And all of that is done, literally, don't have to install a ROM, don't have to wait for anything. I put it into developer mode, download the WebOS Quick Install program, which HP can't openly support or anything else like that, but today donated them a $10,000 plus server to help them in maintaining their costs.
Awesome.
A company dedicated to hacking apart their operating system and their phones, they have given them a free server.
I am starting to like HP more and more nowadays.
Yeah. They are really trying in ways that I feel Google has kind of let, and the Android Association have let Android down in allowing carriers to lock and fight the open source community so much.
And you know, this affords me the absolute perfect segue. You know what carrier I dislike the most? Dun, dun, dun. Everybody who listens to the podcast knows my hatred for the A, the T, and the T.
But what about the T and the A?
I don't like any of them. I hate
them. Like T and A?
I hate them. I hate them. If it has A, T, and T in it, I hate it. So that knocks out a lot of English words, but that doesn't matter. However,
okay.
Why I hate them recently is because, and it's, I almost pity them, really. after losing exclusivity with the iPhone and seeing it go to Verizon, you can kind of see their cash cow jumping the fence. And they see it too, because they sent out letters to select iPhone users offering them a free AT&T microcell. If they were to stay with AT&T, they can take the coupon to the store and the store will give them a microcell, which is the device you plug into your broadband, and it basically creates a miniature cell tower inside your house to give you perfect signal. So then later, they announced that they will be putting out a Sprint-esque any mobile, anytime type of unlimited calling plan that allows any AT&T cell phone to call unlimited minutes to other mobile numbers, regardless of carrier.
Yeah, but they have that.
I have the details on that.
Isn't that what the A-list is?
Well, it's not so much that they're doing it, because I applaud them for doing it, but it's the underlying fact
they don't want to lose their customers.
Exactly. When they were the only ones with the iPhone, they didn't care what you thought of them. They didn't give anything. And now that people have a choice, all of a sudden they're pulling out all these gratuities and just throwing things at their customers. It's petty. It aggravates me. You know, I'm glad that they're finally giving something up, but, you know, I'm ashamed that it took them losing a exclusive handset to do it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think of those actions?
Well, this is definitely not just, it's the loss of the iPhone that's prompted it, but sadly this is also kind of hurting Sprint, which originally offered the Any Mobile Anytime on their Everything Data plan. A lot of people hinge on whether or not the loss of some of the coverage areas for Sprint is worth having all of the extra features. And it's come down to that saving at $20 a month. You can get that Any Mobile Anytime on AT&T. It's with your texting package. If you have unlimited texting, you qualify. There's no rate plan change, nothing else like that. Anyone with texting qualifies for the unlimited Any Mobile Anytime. That's really hurting Sprint too now.
Now, let me ask you this. If someone, and listeners, Sam actually deals with cell phones on a daily basis, which is why he has all this great info. He's kind of my unofficial cell phone guru when it comes to the actual carriers. Let me ask you this question. If a iPhone user is grandfathered into an old AT&T plan with unlimited text messaging, do they get this automatically, or will they have to change their plan and risk AT&T snatching their unlimited data away?
Here's the thing. I recommend taking care of your plan online in this situation. It is not a change that should cause you to lose your unlimited internet if you're grandfathered in. However, if you call into AT&T, you go to an AT&T store, I can't promise that that is what the person behind the counter or on the phone is going to tell you. There's a very good chance that a lot of people are going to be told that they have to go change their data plan. However, today I did swap on an iPhone, and I was allowed to give them the unlimited texting with the Any Mobile Anytime, and they have kept their unlimited data. So it can be done.
See,
Is AT&T going to let you? You're probably on your own on that one. Going on to AT&T.com and taking care of your plan that way is a much better thing to do.
Yeah, and see, in all honesty, I'm a Sprint customer, and my sole driving force behind it was the change in the AT&T data plan.
Mm-hmm.
So that literally, I didn't even worry about the money when I first decided to leave AT&T. I was just mad because I was part of the upper 10% of the bandwidth usage, and I was going to get, you know, I've had multiple friends that have been, one of my friends, for instance, he was late on a payment by one day, literally one day, and he pays online. But his payment went through one day late, and they locked his plan and then changed it to the regular data plan when the payment cleared.
They can do that?
Indeed they can. There are so many catches in the contracts you sign with these carriers that, yeah, if you go out of your bounds, you are void of your contract.
And they can make any change they want to it.
Exactly.
Can I hear we hate AT&T? All right. I guess not.
Indeed.
Because, Rachel, I think you're on AT&T, so don't make them mad.
Hey, it could be for the top 10% of heavy data users. You could be sorry Verizon customers who are about to get your all of your data, your media, and everything compressed down to a smaller size before it ever hits your phone.
Yeah, that's aggravating, too. Man, that's why I like Sprint. Sprint and T-Mobile are really the only two people who still have unlimited data. Truly unlimited. Yep.
Verizon, they don't have unlimited data?
Well, they do, but they have a throttle, and I think T-Mobile might have a throttle, too. I'm not sure. But if you start using too much, they'll knock your speed down. Sprint, they've said nothing about
it. To deter your constant use.
Yeah. Once again, it's the fat kid with a box of cookies. Here's a whole box of cookies. We'd really prefer you not eat all those cookies. And if you eat all the cookies, Sprint doesn't care. AT&T, they don't give you a whole box. Verizon and T-Mobile, they'll give you the box. But then as soon as you get halfway through, they take the box and start throwing single cookies at your face. That was probably the best visualization ever. Man.
Cookies!
That was great. I really wish Brandon was here for that one. He's going to have to listen to that. Woo!
Put a little whale in the box of cookies, and it'll be even better.
Oh, yeah. anyway. So carriers suck, really. It doesn't really matter what carrier you're with. They suck somehow. And, you know, even Sprint sucks, just a little, because they wasted a little bit of my time. I was so excited when they made their announcement that they had some big industry first that they were going to put out. And I got all excited and I ran home and I got on all my live blogs and all of a sudden I see this dual screen Android abomination on my on my computer called the Echo. And the Echo, you know, we have big players in the cell phone market. We have HTC, we have Samsung, we have Sony Ericsson, we have Nokia is still out there. You know, all these different people. Motorola. But one that I haven't heard from for a very long time. Kyocera. I think that's how you say it.
I've never even heard of them.
In all honesty, I'm looking at my printer. It's a Kyocera.
How old is your printer?
It's oldish. It's a big LaserJet printer. But... They were never unbelievably known for cell phones, but this device...
Okay, I believe they are in association with Sanyo, if I remember correctly.
I think that's the catch, yeah.
Yeah, and Sanyo is much more known for their cell phones than
Echo is, as I said, a dual-screen Android device. Now, it's dual-screen. It folds right down the center. And the screens sit back to back to where when you fold them out, both screens are facing you and you can use it kind of like a tablet. They have a certain little UI tweaks here and there to where like the bottom screen can be doing one thing and the top screen can be doing the other one. Like I said, the phone is kind of ugly as sin. It's really not good looking. I mean, the hinge is like a big industrial hinge and I don't know. One side of it looks plain because it has no accents. And then the other side of it has these big gaudy chrome things that say Kyocera and ugh. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think
saw pictures. It's ugly.
Yeah. If you want a tablet, get a tablet. If you want a cell phone, get a cell phone. If the screen on an iPhone isn't big enough for you, move to a Droid X or an Evo. You know, I don't know how this is going to play out. I mean, sure there's going to be fanatics who are going to look at it and go, wow, I can have a keyboard on the bottom screen and type on the top screen. And, you know, ooh, well, I can put a gamepad on the bottom screen and see my game on the top. But you know what? I mean, the Sony, oh, what's it called? It's basically the PlayStation phone. I forget what it's actually called. They have a
PS Go or something like that?
No, it's Sony Xperia Play or something.
Oh.
But
oh, the Xperia.
Yeah, see,
I don't remember.
But
no one remembers.
If you want to play games that bad, get that phone. It's got an actual like D-pad and everything. It's going to be pretty interesting. This thing, I don't really see it going anywhere. I feel bad because I'm so happy about my Sprint service, and I don't want to see them do a bad move, but I think this is a bad idea.
The only real advantage I see to it is if there's a gaming company who decides to roll out Nintendo DS-style gaming on it. Because the DS is a very fun portable system, and if there are companies that embrace it like that, it's going to be the most annoying phone in the world, but it might just replace a few people's gaming systems.
This is true.
I would give it a try.
Sam,
I like the DS.
Do you think it's ugly?
The what?
I was asking Sam if he thought it was ugly.
Oh, yes. He thinks it's ugly.
It is miserably bland, but okay. I'm also a fan of the old Nokia phones that, the old N series that were literally bricks with a screen.
Ah, like so, the one that split in half and was like a full keyboard and screen.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that phone?
Yep.
That was the first smartphone I ever lusted after. I still remember going
to
this.
Mine actually is, mine would have been, oh shoot, the Touch Pro. I'm a little bit new to cell phones.
Ah.
But going back, just picking phones up to play with, the Nokia phones have always had a soft place in my heart.
Speaking of Nokia, there have been many, many rumors about them being in talks with Microsoft. Their CEO is actually a former Microsoft lackey. What do you think of that? I think that maybe they're, you know, they just scrapped the, what was it, the N900? It's like N9-00. It's not the N900.
The advertising name for it was the N9, and they have postponed indefinitely their MeeGo operating system that they have with Intel.
That sounds to me like they have Symbian, but to me it almost sounds like they have a different OS they're planning on putting on there. And, you know, Microsoft has this OS, and Windows Phone 7 going on a Nokia phone, it might be mutually beneficial because it brings Nokia back into the forefront of the smartphone market with a brand new shiny OS. And, of course, I mean, Microsoft gets to license every copy, so they're happy. What do you think it might mean?
That is a really... That's more than likely what's happening. They put so much time and so much money and have so many partners working on MeeGo, and it's not going anywhere. It has no community interest, really. I mean, there's a group of people who are very interested in getting another open source system out there that isn't just the iPhone version of it. You know, I mean, not to knock Android, really, because it is so popular and such a good system. But it's obviously directly meant to compete with the iPhone. But it never, I mean, it's been years. It has been years, and we haven't seen, we have a netbook remix for MeeGo, and that's it. That's all we have to show for it. We have a rough version working on the N900 and a few of the Intel platforms. That's it. They're so far behind, which they're... CEO has said we're years behind our competition. To openly admit that means that you've probably given up. And I actually really would like to see Android handsets go on Nokia. Because Windows Phone 7 is nice and it's a clean operating system. It also is not the greatest in regards to apps, you know, better than WebOS, but the only advantage to it is really the live integration.
My dream technology wedding is a BlackBerry smartphone and the Android operating system. Because the BlackBerry hardware is so beautiful. But, man, their OS is just bare bones.
Mm-hmm.
BlackBerry OS 6 is a lot better, but it's not quite there yet.
No. People get the BlackBerry Torch and absolutely love it, and 3 weeks later they're swapping it for an Android phone because when you tell somebody you have a new phone nowadays, you're pretty much telling your friends who have iPhones and Android phones that, hey, I got something that's not an iPhone and not an Android phone. And, you know, there's a lot of kind of peer pressure going on with that when you see all the apps that everyone else has. If BlackBerry wants to continue to compete in a consumer market, they've got to get the development rolling.
It's so sad, but it's so true. All right. Well, speaking of Android, this is kind of my bread and butter. Google announced Honeycomb, which I was extremely excited about and did sit there for the entire time. It was one of the longest conference things that I have ever had to sit through. I mean, my Lanta. But anyway, it's awesome. They showed it, of course, on what appeared to be a Motorola Zoom tablet. It's graphically, it's amazing. They changed quite a bit of the actual UI. It's got some internal changes. Added features such as built-in video chat and stuff like that, which is really going to be nice on tablets with front-facing cameras. And while the current version of Honeycomb, Google said that it is built for tablets. They stressed that. They said that there would be cell phone optimized versions of Honeycomb coming out later, though. And I can only imagine the Evo style phone with built in video chat would give FaceTime a big run for its money. I actually have had hands on time with Honeycomb. It runs very smoothly. The way that the widgets work in the desktops is very nice. It's very graphics intensive. A lot more 3D type stuff. You know, 3D page turns and big video carousels for YouTube and everything like that. I think Honeycomb will truly... While iOS made the iPad a great tablet, I have this odd feeling that Honeycomb and WebOS are truly going to start the tablet wars. Because putting these operating systems, as great as they are, on new tablets are going to make those tablets... I see the Zoom being quite a hurdle for the iPad to get over. As long as they can bring the price down a little bit. You know, so Honeycomb looks very promising. It has a very large amount of features. As a matter of fact, I'm supposed to be doing a write-up, and it'll be on the blog later if you'd like to see all of the features. One of the features that has been released to all Android devices is the ability to now go onto the Android store on any computer or any browser, and if you sign in with your Google account, you can browse the entire Android market, pick an app, pay for it, or not, if it's free, and it will send it to your phone. And with no notification whatsoever, all of a sudden your phone will start downloading and installing the app. So this makes finding new applications so much easier than sitting there and browsing through the Android market all day long. I know you guys, you don't really... We have the three major phone OSs between the three of us.
Yes, we do.
That's great. So I'm kind of probably talking Greek to you guys, but that's okay because you're talking Greek to me too. So,
well, no, you've used. Well, I don't. I'm not gonna know. I don't know if you've used WebOS, but you were with Apple long enough Well, you kind of.
I have an
Well,
iPod.
And that you use the computer, so.
Yeah, and I have an iPod.
Yeah.
I have an iPood. I call it an iPood because that's usually when I listen to it, is when I'm. Anyway. So, Zoom tablet. Anyway.
Yeah. You know what? I would buy one just to force Apple to put the price down on the iPads, because that's my main reason for not buying one. I'm not spending $500 on a 16-gigabyte Wi-Fi only tablet. I'm sorry, I just can't do it.
Okay. How about you,
if
Sam?
If what it was cheaper, think? Like I'd go for an Android tablet or even a WebOS tablet before I did an iPad right now. Which makes me sad to say, because I could link it to all my stuff, but for the money, it's not worth it.
All right.
What makes me sad about Android rolling out their tablets and the Zoom, they're going to start the hardware wars all over again. It's going on with phones. I mean, the fact is that the processor speeds and everything else like that don't matter as much as what people really think they do right now. I mean, if you're doing intensive gaming, I can see a point made for it. But right now, no one cares about the hardware specs of what's actually behind the iPad. It's simply the iPad.
Yeah.
That name is selling it. The ease of use is selling it. The connectivity is selling it. And the fact is one of Android's great way of competing is the fact that their hardware is better. I mean, it may be matching, but it feels better. It looks better. It updates. It's always innovative in some way. And they're going to start the hardware war on it, and that's going to keep, I'm sure, a lot of people buying either the wrong ones or everything else. The Zoom itself, I would probably wait. I want to wait and see if anyone else is going to put out an Android tablet before I pick this one up. It's not running any form of Motorola, right?
It's not running.
It's going to be an open honeycomb experience.
I don't think that it will be customized. Motorola has a really bad habit of changing the UI on Android. However, being that Honeycomb looks so amazing by itself, I don't really think they'll want to.
Exactly. That's my hope, because like HTC Sense is obviously aimed for cell phone ease of use. On a tablet, I would just get annoyed with it, even though I've had it on my Touch Pro 2 and just all of my previous phones before I entered the WebOS market. And of course, Samsung did the same thing on their Android phones with TouchWiz. I don't remember which one it is.
I think. I can't remember.
But that honeycomb experience, that is, if the companies change it before it hits the market, that is going to hurt them tremendously.
Gotcha.
Because that honeycomb, the way it looks right there and everything it does, it looks so much more powerful in what it can do compared to the iPad, which looks like a giant iPhone under a magnifying glass. You know, that's exactly what it looks like.
All righty. Well, we're going to go on a real quick break, and when we come back, I'm going to tell you why you might want to think twice about buying the first Zoom tablets that come out right after this. Back we are. Woohoo!
So anyway, why don't we want to get a tablet?
We don't want to get a Zoom tablet right away. At least the one that has the Wi-Fi and the 3G, because Verizon, it is rumored, is not going... whenever they sell the tablet, the Wi-Fi is actually going to be locked off.
Why?
Until you buy at least 1 month of Verizon 3G service.
No!
Exactly.
Just no. That's... No, I have nothing against Verizon. I'm sure they're a perfectly good company. They're a little pricey for me. But that is completely ridiculous. And I'm not going to buy something that would force me to subscribe to something for a month.
Exactly. I don't care if it's contract or no contract. Wi-Fi is what it is. It's free connection. It is plugging your laptop into a wall without the plug. You know,
that would be like AT&T making a deal with Apple going, oh, you can buy this MacBook, but you have to buy something from AT&T first to unlock the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you got to buy a month of 3G to unlock your MacBook. It's one of the dumbest things I think I've ever
heard. Or, you know, with the iPhone, they could have been like, oh, you can't unlock your Wi-Fi until you have the phone for a month with AT&T.
Yeah.
You know, something ridiculous like that.
Do you know how horrible that would be with a limited rate plan?
Oh, I know. Well, see, with so my use dumb. Of Wi-Fi, I don't go over 1 gig at all, so I can't complain about unlimited data. But yeah, if I were forced to use only the 3G network or the cell network, then I couldn't download half the stuff I did because it's only over 20 megabytes.
Yeah, and you ready for this? I'm going to ruin your Zoom, your desire even more, which I know you probably think that's not possible even after that little tidbit, but there are estimates on the price of the Zoom.
Is it over the iPad?
It is $300 more than the iPad.
Yep.
I'm talking 800 bones.
Why can... What are they saying that they that it has that they can justify that price?
I honestly, they haven't even said. That's another problem with the Zoom.
I mean, I would rather save up $200-$300 and buy a new MacBook.
Yeah, now,
actually, at that price, you could nearly buy one of the older iPhones and the iPad outright.
Yeah.
And keep yourself all set up in Apple land.
And, you know, it's one of those things where this is a rumor because it was a leaked Best Buy ad that had it on there. It also had the Wi-Fi access thing on there.
So they want you to... So according to this leaked ad, it's going to be $800 or more depending on, I guess, the memory they have stored in it. And you have to be with Verizon for a month with their data plan.
Yes.
The East Coast might buy into it.
I don't think they will. I only say
that because they're more they like Verizon more than we do in the Midwest.
Yeah, well, it's also because in big cities, GSM networks have a generally hard time simply because they don't cover as much area per tower as CDMA networks do. So, yeah. You know, it costs a lot of money to put towers on top of buildings, and it's really hard to convince the owners of those buildings to let you put them up there. So, I mean, it's not necessarily the carrier's full network causing those problems, but it is still a problem, you know. So, yeah, I think, of course, I mean, let's face it, you know, places like California, they're always ahead of us on the times anyway, so people are going to buy it, yeah, they're going to use it, they're going to succumb to Verizon and do this if Verizon actually goes through with it, but number one, I think locking down the Wi-Fi on anything is dumb.
That's ridiculous.
And number two...
I mean, it doesn't matter if it was AT&T or even Sprint or what is there, a Cricket or whatever cell networks out there. You know, yeah. That's just a bad idea.
It is a very bad idea. And what I want to know is, I mean, I understand that when Apple... there was actually a statement that said that when Apple was designing the iPad... The $500 price point was a big part of the design. It had to hit that price point. But what is making these Android tablets so expensive? The Galaxy Tab was $600. That's just ridiculous. I mean, granted, I bought a Nook Color from Barnes & Noble, rooted it, put a launcher on it, you know. And matter of fact, my Nook Color runs Honeycomb. It cost me $250.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you overclock the processor, you're set. But these Android tablets are so unbelievably expensive, the price for entry is just incredible.
And see, my only chance to use an Android device is if I buy a tablet, because I'm not switching phones at the moment, and I won't be able to right now.
I buy all of my phones outright. I do not do contracts. I have not bothered with the contract in over 2 years, which means I throw $400 or $500 down on a phone, unless I'm lucky enough to find it cheaper, or like my Palm Pre, someone threw it away in a trash can. That was an insurance swap away from having a brand new Palm Pre. But tablets, they are just ridiculous.
You mean you got a trash can baby phone?
Exactly.
A prom night dumpster.
That is exactly what my phone is.
A prom night dumpster Palm Pre.
Yep. Just like my shoes.
That's awesome. We hack our cell phones. He hacks dumpsters, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah. Please, throw more things away. That is
throw good things away at either his job or near his house.
There you go.
Or within 40 miles.
Okay.
Shiny things catch my attention real quick.
Have you trained a crow to spot the shiny things and then direct you to it?
I was, but I thought I was hoarding things away from me, and that is
that's upsetting.
Yeah, I couldn't have that, so there's no more crow.
Wow.
All right. So, does anyone have any more tech comments?
Who wants to buy me an iPad? No one. Okay.
Trying to think. I think we've covered pretty much everything. It's
okay. Rachel?
It's been a really busy past few weeks in the tech world.
It has, and also I forgot to mention at the very beginning, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, I am sorry. We did miss an episode. For those of you who thought we might have fallen off the face of the planet, schedules just did not align, and I made the judgment call to skip an episode. Blame me, and I will forgive thee. But hey, you know,
traitor.
I can't help it.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, but we are back, and we are on our normal schedule. So, you know, we'll keep doing this whole voodoo that we do kind of okay. So, Rachel, do we have any game news? I know we don't have much movies, but do we have any games?
Well, there's a fair amount. Well, there's a few things. Most of it is just little stuff from here and there.
Give me the news that doesn't suck.
Well, a game that shouldn't suck, Bulletstorm, is coming out February 22nd. Now, there's a couple things about Bulletstorm that make it good / in the news. It's coming, if you pre-order it from Amazon and get the Epic Edition, you get a Gears of War 3 demo with it. So, for anyone who likes that, that's a good thing, right? But the other thing is, Bulletstorm was in the news because some lady decided it was the worst game ever because it promoted rape and violence. Because video games of where you highly sexualized video games where they, you know, put sex and violence together feed our innate desires and make us more desensitized to it and make us want to do it to real people instead of just on a screen.
I have five words. Hail to the king, baby. Which I am really looking forward to.
The other thing about Bulletstorm is that, on that same vein, is that in Germany they had to censor it.
Are you serious? Well, Germany's kind of stuck up. They're a little prudish.
Which they can be. Well, it's funny, is it? They can be about certain things.
Exactly. Like,
it's just like, oh,
their
whatever.
Their homes and their, you know, taking pictures of their houses. Google had a big problem with that. But they'll go to, like, a community steam room and just let their, you know, they'll just hang out with their wang out. They don't care. It's so weird.
Do you want to know what it had to lose to get the USK 18+ rating?
Oh, what?
It had to lose the blood. the ragdoll effects, the splatter, and any kind of dismemberment.
Oh, there went the best parts of the game.
And if anyone has played the demo from, then you'll find that that's what makes the game interesting, because it wants you to kill creatively.
You're going to it's going to be at the main screen. It's going to say press start to begin. You're going to press start. It's going to say press A. You press A and the credits will roll.
Yeah.
That's going to suck.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like...
But us here in the States will get a very nice game.
Speaking of another neutered game, Guitar Hero / DJ Hero, no more DLC for it because the franchise is officially on hold.
Oh boy.
And that means it's dead, basically. Yeah, but they say on hold to give people hope for I don't know what, because they're fun games, but
it's not that good. It's not you, it's me. You're Mr. Right, just not Mr. Right now. In a perfect world, we'd work out. That kind of stuff?
Yeah, basically.
That's what they're telling the gaming community anyway.
A game that seems to be working out very well on the PlayStation Network is DC Universe Online. About 45% of those playing the game are doing it from their PlayStation 3.
Huh. Is that still in beta?
No, it's out.
Ah, I should have got in on the... I wanted to try it. I just don't want to pay for it.
Yeah, I say that only because the commercials for it are everywhere right now. And yeah. I do want to play it, but...
I don't know if I want to pay. I'm already paying for World of Warcraft, and I feel geeky enough for that.
Yeah. I don't know. I might play this later. I haven't decided.
Luke,
but
come to the dork
DC
side.
DC, and DC is my comic, side of choice. So, we'll see where that goes. Let's see. Torchlight. Did anyone play that? It's an RPG.
Very cool,
pretty. Well, Torchlight was originally for, I think it was for Mac only, or it was for the, computer. Then it got put on, Mac and Windows, and now it's being put on systems, consoles. Well, because of that, it's delaying the sequel, Torchlight 2. Because they're concentrating on the original, trying to get it all worked up on consoles.
That's an incredibly ingenious title. I like that.
Torchlight 2?
Yes. I'm sorry. It's getting late. Listeners, you get to listen to this whenever you want, but right now we're recording at like 11:30 at night, so I'm getting slap happy.
That is because my laptop is truly... Ubuntu is awesome, but boy, it's not a last-minute operating system.
We know.
That's okay.
Well, Torchlight, the original, not the first one, will be available on Xbox Live on March 9th for 1,200 Microsoft points.
1,200 Microsoft points is $15.
The sequel should be around June or July 2011. So June or July. So about 6 months from now. 5 months. Sorry.
So it's a $15 game. That's not bad.
Yeah. No, and it's actually pretty comparable to the prices that Steam and the other networks are charging for it. So.
I just paid $15 to buy a pack of maps so that I could play on Call of Duty Black Ops and get my butt kicked on, so I don't feel so bad.
Oh, Black Ops.
Ugh. I love the game, but man, I just spawn, get shot, spawn, get shot, spawn, get shot. Every single time.
That's what I've been playing Halo Reach Online with a group of friends.
That's
only.
Even worse.
Not that I play it much, but that's pretty much what happens to me.
I hate it. I don't get to
that's
play.
Why I've given up on console gaming on the internet. I don't even try.
That's fine. But I have no problem with that whatsoever. And the only reason I play online is if I know I'm going to be playing with friends.
This is true. My boss plays, my boss at my other job, since I'm the boss here. anyway, my boss actually plays Call of Duty Black Ops. It's kind of nice to unload on your boss every once in a while.
Wait, which boss?
The manager of my work.
The main manager?
Yeah, like the big guy.
That's funny. He does not seem like a Black Ops kind of guy.
Oh, but he is, and he talks strategy with me every day.
Well, that's one way to get in good with them.
Yeah, Oh, we play. As a matter of fact, he was online right before I walked upstairs to hop on the podcast.
That's funny.
Heck yeah.
That's great.
So, anything else?
Well, would you like a kind of funny but bad parent story?
Oh,
no,
I love
no
bad
one died. Parents. No one got sick or anything. A mother in the UK put her debit card on the Microsoft Xbox Live. So, you know, they asked for that. So her son could download DLC. He's 11. He downloaded over 1,000 pounds worth of content. And his mother is she works two jobs, single mom. And now she's trying to get either the bank or Microsoft to cover the charges. Because she blames them instead of, you know, the kid who said, okay, I'm going to purchase this.
Now,
or herself. You know, the one who typed the numbers in.
Ladies and gentlemen, 1,000 pounds sounds like close to $1,000. It's $1,600.
Yes.
$1,600. There's not even that much stuff I want. Think about that. That is like 100, like, games, really. Because they're 15, 20 bucks a piece. That's a lot of content.
That's a ton of downloaded games and all their content.
I didn't even know a hard drive could hold that much.
last month, I spent $50 or $60 to renew my account because I forgot to buy a card somewhere for only $50.
For shame.
Well, $10 extra. And then I forgot. I spent $40 on Microsoft points just to get some extra stuff on. I forgot all about that. And I spent it so easily. So you know what? I can see how this kid racked so much up.
That's why I think they put it as points and not dollars, because it's so much easier to buy things when it's like,
when you don't know the dollar amount.
It's only 800
points. And I knew how much they cost because I actually clicked add more points.
Me too.
So, it's just one of those things.
Microsoft.
Whatever. I don't care. I mean, it's not like that's a ton of money, but it's, you know, it kind of hit me like, I did do that. I didn't remember. And the not remembering thing's what got me.
Oh, yeah.
So, poor mom.
Yeah, that sucks. It's kind of like, there was a young girl who did the same basic thing to her parents. She bought, I want to say $1,800 worth of stuff in Smurf's Village on iOS. I think that was the actual amount. It's pretty ridiculous. You know, another one of those things where I didn't honestly know that was possible. In-app purchases and network purchases games are just
I've been on a couple of the in-app games for my iPhone. They have in-app purchases for money so that you can purchase stuff in the game. $50 to purchase, you know, this big bundle of money. So basically you could purchase everything inside the game. But that's $50 for a game where you're purchasing fake items.
What do they call it? Real dollars for digital cents?
Yeah. It confuses me on why people actually do that. But, you know, whatever. It's their money.
Yeah. Hey.
Exactly. But how successful? I mean, we've seen, the company that rolled out Farmville and everything, and how successful they've gotten.
Oh, Zynga, right?
Zynga.
Yeah. Mafia Wars and everything. That's one of the reasons. I mean, you can just let people pump unlimited money into you. Just let them do it. And in those situations, people need to realize it's still not safe to leave any credit or debit card number stored in any electronic device anywhere. Even if it never leaves your hand, don't let it, don't store it.
I try not to store things unless it's, you know, for like PayPal or something like that. But even then, I want to hesitate.
This is not game news, but it's a blurb that goes right along with that.
Yes.
The Starbucks app on iOS allows you to pay for your Starbucks coffee by scanning your iOS device.
That doesn't work anymore.
Well, the thing is, they found out that the barcode never changed. So if you left your device unattended and someone took a screenshot and then emailed it, in 20 seconds they could have a barcode picture on their screen that would scan every single time and you'd be paying for their coffee.
Oh, I wish it was a Starbucks there. I totally would have done that.
The whole wireless payment and scanning system that has been in the tech news for the past year, with especially over in California and everything, I think is the dumbest idea for cell phones in the history of the world.
Exactly.
No, I couldn't do it.
You know how many cell phones I've lost? I don't want to have my credit card be my cell phone, and then I lose it.
I drive a Jeep Wrangler, and there are times I drive around with no doors, and I have had my phone fall out of my pocket on the highway, and the Touch Pro 2, it didn't break. So I went and stopped, pulled over, picked it back up. That was at about 40 miles an hour. Had I just kept driving, because I assumed it was broken and no one ran it over and someone picked it up, at the time they would have literally been able to log in to, well, everything I had, my email and everything else like that. That's when I learned that just closing out of everything at all times is the best way to go. And those payment systems, you know, that's directly to your bank account, credit card. And people are pretty genius when it comes to getting into that stuff. That's a legitimate job for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, does anyone have any closing thoughts they want to touch on before we wrap this sucker up?
One last little tidbit I forgot.
Sure.
The Veer has, the HP Veer has a magnetic charger adapter, or a magnetic charger, and a magnetic adapter for the headphone jack.
Really?
It is a, yeah. The charger.
I knew about the charger. It's kind of
to get a headphone jack on it.
It's kind of like
a little piece that it sticks to the magnetic slot on the side of the Veer.
Hmm.
Or top of the Veer.
Okay, see, I don't like that. But the magnetic charger is actually a good idea. That's one of my favorite things about the Mac is the MagSafe adapter.
Mm-hmm.
The cord that just kind of sucks into the charging port, you know.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to worry about force or anything else like that, not fitting correctly.
It doesn't get worn out.
Yep, and that's the design they went for on the Veer to help it go small, but the only way they could get the headphone jack on there is if it worked through that system too. And if I get the Veer, I'm going to lose that 1/8-inch headphone adapter, and that is the most important part of the phone to me, to make sure it has good music capabilities, and the headphone jack is necessary for that.
Does it support EDR Bluetooth? To where you can stream music?
On the Veer?
Yeah, most phones nowadays do. If it has Bluetooth 2.1, normally it has streaming music profiles. But being that, you could always get a set of Bluetooth headphones and hook those up.
You ever tried to use Bluetooth headphones and a Jeep Wrangler with the top off of it?
No. But I have a Bluetooth radio in my car, so I, you know.
Oh, you're lucky. Those don't come waterproof yet.
It's a Jeep thing. I don't understand.
I have a distinct issue where technology and redneck.
You're making me less
colliding.
And less want to buy a Jeep, and I've been wanting to for a while.
Get a hard top. I mean, the soft tops are awesome, but there's leakage.
I'm actually growing up, I've realized, and right now I drive a Dodge Neon, and Neons are really low to the ground. They have really stiff suspensions, and they drive really well, but they're not extremely comfortable for someone of my size. And it's not so much the outward, you know, fat people can't drive Neon type thing. It's I'm tall, so my head hits the ceiling every once in a while. I have really long legs, so that doesn't help. However, I am going to be getting a Dodge Avenger, and I've realized that I want a big car now, because the Avenger is bigger than my Neon.
It's
so comfortable.
Get a Park Avenue.
Get a Mercury. You're so old.
I'm going to get a Mercury. What's the name of the Mercury? The big, humongous one.
Oh, I don't know. Or
my
older neighbor, who's really nice, he has a Crown Vic. It is huge.
Nice. I'm going to get a Ford LTD. All right, well.
You know what? I cannot find that Bluetooth answer about the Veer. I am not finding any specs on its Bluetooth capacity.
Gotcha.
The tablet and the Pre 3 they've got support, but I'm not finding it for the Veer. That's sadness if it lacks that.
Yeah, I can't imagine them actually, you know, not allowing that on their phone, because I mean, it's, you know, it's a pretty, you know, standard thing nowadays.
It's an industry standard at this point in time.
Yes, it does. It does support EDR. So
it
will, yeah, it will allow it to stream over Bluetooth. So if you have a Bluetooth radio or a Bluetooth headset or headphones, you could always stream instead of using that little adapter, and then keep that adapter somewhere safe and use it if you absolutely have to.
Or drive a Jeep Wrangler.
Or you have a Jeep Wrangler. You know, they might make a little Bluetooth box you can plug regular earbuds into. Might want to look for that. I know they used to make those for iPods to kind of put a wireless space in between your iPod and your headphones. You know, they might have something like that. The internet has so many things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can make almost anything quickly. That's and you can find it even easier.
All right, well, we're going to wrap this puppy up because we are running... we're running pretty not long, but about good time. But frankly, I'm tired, and I know you guys probably are too. And Sam, your phone's probably getting very hot against the side of your head.
Yeah, I should have clocked it down before getting into the phone call.
It's gonna have a big big red imprint of a Palm OS device just stuck to his face.
You know what? The reason I pushed myself to get a new phone was because I was literally like almost giving myself burns with my old phone.
Nice. I just bought an OtterBox for mine, so that gives me a little bit of space in between me and the phone.
Yeah, I don't think I could buy a case for a Blackjack first generation.
Yeah, no.
And make one.
They'd send you some
Saran wrap on
it. I would say they'd send you like a piece of rubber and Saran wrap and just say, "Here you go." All right. So
I'd actually be afraid of getting one of those cases in the tree. I'm sure you need to heat up even more.
Yeah, insulator.
Just cook it like an oven.
You can get a big block cooling case, has a fan in it, you know, constantly blowing cool air on it.
I need to get a backpack with a radiator and some fans and water cool that sucker.
that's what I'll do after I get a new one.
There you go. All right.
Backup MP3 player.
Well, we'll do guests first, and Sam, tell everyone where they can find you, where they can get a hold of you and follow your every word.
I am on, Beyond 8 Days of Geek as Manatee Man. You can find me in the forums there, and I will have a more detailed article up covering the Think Beyond event, hopefully by tomorrow, going over all the details and everything else like that. You can email me at livingbriggs@live.com. Find me on Facebook, Samuel Briggs. I don't do Twitter. That's something I've never gotten into. But the quickest way is by email or those forums.
Yeah, and you can always get a hold of any of our writers through the blog. I believe your email address through the blog is manateeman@8daysofgeek.com.
That is correct.
So that does go directly to Sam. So if you want to use that, he will get that as well. Rachel?
I am at Caution Tape on Twitter and just regular Rachel on the forums because I'm boring that way. And Rachel@8daysofgeek.com email. The best way to get a hold of me is either Twitter or email because that's what updates every hour when I'm at work.
All right. I am, of course, on Twitter, on the Twitters, as @PenOfDoom. You can reach me via the blog. My email is, get this, it's real hard, so you might want to write it down. It's Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, @8daysofgeek.com. So
I've forgotten it already.
I know. I've been trying to shorten it. You know, I was thinking J. But even Jay, I mean, you got that loop at the bottom, and yeah, it's just, I don't know. I haven't quite decided if I just want to just change my name to something ambiguous or not. But anyway, other places you can find me are, of course, you can call the voicemail. We don't get enough of your charming words. And if you'd like to call and leave a message, for us. If it's under 30 seconds and it's incredibly charming, we might just play it on the blog or on the podcast. This thing, whatever this is. I don't know if it's a podcast or not. But if you'd like to do that, you can call us. The number is 754-273-6397. The last four digits spell out news. I say that because I was very proud that I got a Hollywood, California number that spelled out news at the end. You have no idea how hard that is to actually find.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyway, that number again, area code 754-273-6397. Leave us a message, and, you know, like I said, is it charming? We'll put it on there. Why not? You can always email the podcast, podcast@8daisygeek.com, with any questions and comments. Let's see, 2 weeks from now, we'll be back with another episode, and you know what? Who knows what crew we'll have? I expected Brandon to be on the show tonight up until about noon today. So, and Sam, I am very glad that you were able to be on. When I first heard that you might not be able to make it, I was very bummed out. And then you texted me and told me you were game. I about jumped for joy. I was very excited because not only because I enjoy talking tech with you, but also because I don't know a lot about WebOS and I didn't want to sound like a doofus.
So, yeah, you can't really talk tech with Brandon, can
not
you?
Really. Not really at all. You can talk Whale Wars.
Yeah, I'll try that out.
All right, guys. Well, I think it's getting about that time. So if you want to go ahead and fill out your TPS reports and fasten them with your red swing line and punch out, because another 8 days of geek, yeah, it's on the books. I've got to get started with post-production.
Yeah, I'm going to kill this.
I'm going to get a life pack.